broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. This is the broadcast for January 6th in the year of our Lord, 2020. Bottom line is hard-hitting talk at your fingertips, that's for sure. First hour, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, was with us. Second hour, the doctors in the house. Dr. Scott Bradley with us, ladies and gentlemen. And all I can say is this. FreedomsRisingSun.com is his website. To preserve the nation, his goal. Welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. Have you guys had a rousing radio program this morning? I presume you have, based on everything that's tumultuous in the world today.
Oh, yeah. Sam openly rejects undeclared, unconstitutional, immoral, unjust war, for starters, sir.
Well, I guess I have to be on the same page with you on that one. Holy cow. And in fact, we could talk at length about the Founding Fathers' position of the onerous burden of declaring war and the deliberative process it should go through and how constrained it was. And we can document that until the cows come home.
Well, the bottom line is Congress shall have power to declare war, grant letters of marque and reprisal, and make rules concerning captures on land and water. Senator Rand Paul boldly spoke out and warned against war with Iran or Iraq without congressional approval. The reason I say Iraq is because even though we're talking about war with Iran, the battleground's at Iraq right now, sad to say. Ron Paul criticized Trump's airstrike on the Iranian targets in Iraq. He said, I think our country's not doing so well. Our foreign policy's in shambles. Overall, it represents the stupidity of the interventionist foreign policy. Now, believe it or not, Iraq has already taken decisive action and voted to expel U.S. troops, according to USA Today. And Iran, its government announced now they will no longer honor the 2015 nuclear deal. So they're going to start enriching. Do you want to start there, Scott?
Well, sure. I mean, I wish that Iraq had booted us out a long time ago. I mean, well, why did they need to boot us out? We needed to follow principle. And as Ron Paul, not Rand, but Ron used to say, we marched right in there, we can march right out. And this concept, I mean, you know, of course, obviously, it's got to be done in a manner that protects our people and we can consolidate and then withdraw in a reasoned manner. But the fact of the matter is, we are putting our people in harm's way without any constitutional authority to do that, without any moral basis of doing it. And there has not been a just war review of this thing whatsoever. In fact, I find it interesting that, you know, the Democrat bevy of beauties that are out there for their, and I don't use that in a sexist way because it's a kind of a sarcastic mocking of who we've got out there as Democrats running for president. But they're kind of drawing lines now saying, well, Biden is probably going to be a warmonger like Trump is, and some of us other guys are going to be peacemongers and everything. You know what? We have been on a path of war so long. In fact, since World War II, it's been really rare that we've been out of war. And it's only been because we've never declared war. And it needs to be something everybody takes responsibility for. Now, you look at that enriched nuclear power kind of stuff with this thing with Iran was ill-conceived to begin with. But the agreement had nothing whatsoever to do with why Trump pulled the plug on it. And I use the analogy is, let's say an agreement was made for me to sell my car to you, and when you come to pick up the car, you want my house too. And the agreement says I sold you my car for a certain amount of money. Well, that's kind of what happened. I mean, the Barack Obama agreement there, it may have been flawed, but what everybody agreed to, and by the way, the United States never ratified that treaty, but what Barack Obama and Iran and our other quote-unquote allies agreed to was that they weren't going to enrich their uranium. And everybody was in agreement, including our own people, that Iran was in conformance to that agreement. And Trump decided...
But see, I don't agree with the agreement. I don't agree with the agreement in the first place, though. We have no in my opinion, no right to stop anybody from enriching uranium. Somehow we want to believe in the, you can't have a digital divide, you can't have a financial divide, the have and have nots, but you can have a nuclear divide. We have nuclear weapons. Israel had a slip of the tongue just recently admitting they do as well. And these other guys are just trying to even the playing field, and we're basically trying to create by, quote, edict. The answer is no. Now, I'm not saying that I want war, but what I'm saying is, how do we hold other nations to a different standard as if they're the bad guys? And then we can, you know, when things go south, we blame it all on them.
Well, and that's, I mean, this whole thing, this whole, I mean, the agreement was fallacious, but it was what it was. We did not agree to it in terms of the way we agree to treaties. But the fact of the matter is, it didn't include my house, and you, meaning that they didn't agree to give everything away. And so when they continued to develop other kinds of weapons that were non-nuclear, Trump decided to pull the plug. That was at the behest of Israel and Saudi Arabia, I believe. I believe we are the puppets of those two countries in the region. And where we are, by the way, in this, I mean, I'm just muddy in the water, I know, but this is a religious war.
Let's stop. When you say you're muddying the water, though, the problem is the water's so muddy, it's about impossible to know who's our friend, who's our enemy, who's on the right side, who's not, because even leaders in countries are on different sides of the issues. And that's why the Founding Fathers warned so critically about avoiding foreign entanglements like the plague. They didn't want to fund, they didn't want to train, and they didn't want to arm countries around the world. We're doing all three at an alarming rate, at an unprecedented reality. And the Founders warned us against it for wise reasons. Right now, it's hard for me to say, hey, should we have killed that leader? Should we have, it's hard for me to say because, and Kurt and others bring this out, and I think they're right, we don't know the inside intel. We're making decisions without having the facts. We're armchair quarterbacking this thing. And the only guide I have to armchair quarterback it is the Founders' admonitions and then what they codified in our supreme law. That's what I have at my disposal. And I'm saying, hey, if we want to do this right, then you got to get permission from Congress. We're not doing those things. And so I don't know the legitimacy on the ground and the details behind the scenes. The only thing I know is what our Founding Fathers warned us about and what they codified in our supreme law. And I want to have fidelity to that supreme law. That's what I know, Scott.
That's right. If you have a paradigm of operation that is the basis of our nation, a paradigm being a rule of engagement, it's the rules of how we play the game. And it's a shifting sands at this point. There is no stability whatsoever. We're as unstable as water, I think, as Judah was described many centuries ago. And we find ourselves adrift in a sea that there's high stakes. I mean, very high stakes. And I mentioned this religious war thing. I mean, that goes clear back to 632 AD when Muhammad died. I mean, the Sunnis and the Shia have been at each other's throat, and this is really in the mix of everything that's going on in the Middle East, from Syria to Iraq to Iran to Saudi Arabia to Yemen. It's everywhere there, and we're in the middle of a religious war, and we don't even know who's who and what's what. And just think about this for a minute. Just pick your favorite general. I don't know if you have a favorite general, but...
Yeah, his name is George Washington, sir.
Yeah, okay, well, I'll go with that, but let's just say that the American public today, you know, let's just say Schwarzkopf or Colin Powell or Petraeus or you pick anybody that you want. And just say, for example, that a foreign power, let's just say Iran, targeted a general, our favorite general, whoever it was, you choose. I don't seem to have very many in modern history, but the fact of the matter is they took him out purposely. This was an assassination, and it was done on the behest of the Ayatollah, okay? Do you think we'd be ticked off? Absolutely we'd be ticked off, and in fact...
Well, and what we want to claim is, well, he was about to, you know, hit targets of ours, and my response is, why don't we have people at home to defend targets of ours then?
Exactly, but let me just say something else, Sam. Okay, just a minute. Let me back up just a second. Let's say, I bet you all of, not maybe all, but virtually all of your listeners are against red flag laws. Oh my goodness, the guy might do something wrong. Or these precog things that Bill Barr's looking at so that if somebody may commit a crime sometime, we're going to arrest him. and Donald Trump's position, let's seize the guns and sort out the due process later. Virtually all of your readers or listeners are probably saying, holy cow, that's wrong, that's bad, that's it. Okay, now, put that on an international level. Well, this guy might do something wrong, so I'm going to take him out. Okay, now, if it's wrong at the individual, which it is, it's an individual God-given right to carry a firearm and to have possession of it and all that kind of stuff. It was granted by God, not by some Second Amendment thing or anything. It predates it, constitutions and everything. But if we're against this precog kind of thing where we decide in advance that we're going to take people out, it's one of those things. This is on steroids. And honestly, we have abandoned the sound foundation the founders gave us. Here's what happened in the Chesapeake affair back in Thomas Jefferson's days. It was an act of war, unquestionably, a British warship, and all this. It was bad, and everybody's beating the war drums with Jefferson, and they're saying we got to take the Brits to task on this thing. We got to go to war. And Thomas Jefferson said, it's not my call. He took defensive measures, made sure that we wouldn't face a problem like that. I mean, and then he took it to Congress. And that's what should happen here.
All right, when we come back, Kurt's going to chime in. The doctor's in the house. FreedomsRisingSun.com is his website. To preserve the nation, this collegiate series and goal. Webinars. Q&A's on the Constitution every week, available at freedomsrisingsun.com. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, if you didn't think you had enough to worry about, here's some of the Drudge headlines just for today, and then we got some from Saturday. But anyway, here's the ones from today. On short notice, fast response force flies to Mideast. Could America restart draft? Homeland activates terrorism alert network. Meant to cripple Iran's clout, strike unites its allies. Millions strong, homage for general brings Tehran to standstill. Red flag raised at mosque, warning of severe battle to come. We'll punish Americans wherever they are. threatens to attack White House, Tel Aviv a target. Iraqi parliament votes in favor of expelling U.S. troops. Trump threatens sanctions on Iraq like they've never seen before. Doubles down on striking cultural sites. More rockets hit near embassy in Baghdad. Iran's cyber attack on billionaire Adelson provides lesson. And then you've got Pelosi, House to vote on resolution limiting Trump actions against Iran. Those are the ones for today. You know, your Saturday drudge headlines where, you know, they had the red flag one. Just seeing if there's any additional ones to add. General steps out of Soleimani's shadow. Fear hits Tehran over what might come next. Royal Navy Admiral warns West against war. Need millions of soldiers. NATO suspends Iraq training mission. Strait of Hormuz in focus. Trump the Terminator. Totally unpredictable. Hornet's nest. Fear of cyber attacks. Protests across USA. Selective service site falters over World War III draft fears. Then you've got rage builds. Iran eyes 35 targets. Rockets launched at U.S. troops. Anyway, a little fun for the weekend, huh?
Yeah,
Scott?
What's your take, Kurt? I say we shouldn't be there, and I've said so from the start. What do you say?
You're talking to me or to Kurt?
Kurt, and then you, Scott.
Well, I will say this, that number one, I don't know about everything because I haven't been in any of those meetings.
Right?
I haven't seen any of the evidence or any of
that
stuff.
All of us,
and I find it's interesting, depending on the source you look at. Like if you check out Breitbart, you know, you get Pompeo says we're having to clean up the Obama's administration's mess. You've got, you know, et cetera. You've got the... They'd say stuff like this was needed to happen because this guy was going to do these things or he already did these things. You know, so it's just hard for me to know exactly what's going on. So I simply say, hey, I recommend the actions of the Prince of Peace. But on the other hand, I know that we have to defend ourselves. Defense is pretty tricky, exactly what that means. I mean, it's easy for me to understand, but I know that, you know, when you're in all these places, 100 plus places around the world, you're going to have some troubles. And I wish I knew more, and I wish I could tell you exactly what needs to be done. But
well,
I'd
and
say,
that's why I don't know the answers either.
Follows the Prince of Peace.
I don't know the answers either, but I will say this. Let's use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of our land, as our guide to our responses, whatever they be. So if we're going to attack, let's have Congress declare. If we're going to, okay, Congress is in charge of all this. And so, you know, I appreciate that if we feel the need to do this, that's fine. Justify it and deliver according to the supreme law. My problem is whether I know enough or not isn't the point. The point is I know how we're supposed to go about it. According to our supreme law. That's my take, Scott.
Well, you know, Kurt went through this list of oriented awfuls, and other than that, I think things are going pretty good. But honestly, this is, I hate to boil this down to one sentence. This is something of our own doing. And it's been many decades, and you can't just blame it all on Trump, but it's been many decades. And when you say blowback, that has been brewing and it's been coming at us. I mean, you think about the blowback on the trade towers that happened back in the 1990s. I mean, everything that's happened is a blowback issue. And the only way to have avoided it was to have an appropriate foreign policy, which was clearly outlined, very well defined by the American founding fathers. And I've got dozens of quotes here in front of me if anybody ever wants to hear any of them. But the fact of the matter is, there was no possibility of blowback. We were there in defense of ourselves, and we had no footprint around the world other than trade. Now, people will let me just clarify something a little bit here. People say, oh, you want to be an isolationist. The United States has never been an isolationist. We have simply resolved not to engage ourselves in all of the belligerents around the world. We have traded with the world from before we became a country. We had thousands of ships plying the seas and trading, and we were welcome largely across the nations of the world for about a century, and certainly a century and a quarter maybe. We were there as we brought prosperity, and I know there's generalities that, you know, you can say, oh, I give you a specific issue, but by and large, we were out in the world doing business and making friends with people. You can't trade with your enemies and succeed, and so we went out and did business.
But the way to climb out of this is to use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of our land, on how to go about it.
Absolutely.
And if there's a justification to commit a strike or do things that are warlike, then you gotta go to Congress.
Absolutely. This has got to be the deliberative action that happens with due discussion and debate. And you know, back in 2006, I had a big discussion. The reason I remember this is I was running for the United States Senate then. But basically, I was at a booth passing out brochures, you know, campaign information about my principles. My campaign platform was the United States Constitution. It's pretty simple. I could give them a constitution and say that's what my platform is. But at any rate, I had a gentleman that's probably about my age now, late 60s, that came to the booth and, oh, the Constitution. He says, I love the Constitution. It's wonderful. Oh, man, and you'd follow it. And I said, yeah. And I says, absolutely, to the core. And he says, oh, what do you think about the war in the Middle East? And I says, well, it was gone about improperly, and it should have been done a different way, and the president had no authority, blah, blah, blah. I'm going on like that. And he says, oh, the president had to do that. The president had to take that action. Congress didn't have any background. I said, well, no, wait a minute. Do you abide by the Constitution or not? He said, well, they weren't going to do that.
Well, we have the same excuse now. Congress is trying to impeach the Donald. They're not going to help him with this. Maybe, maybe not. But that should be laid out for the American people to decide. If you don't lay that out, at some point it becomes election tampering. Because if the Congress isn't going to support a legitimate, needful protection of the nation, militarily speaking, if justified, then we got a real problem.
Well, that's the thing. And this gentleman I was speaking to back in 2006 was saying the president had to take this unilateral action. I said, well, maybe in your mind that's a good thing. In my mind, it's not. But do we go by opinion, or do we go by what the absolute, as you call it, blueprint states? And is so something being a good idea in somebody's mind and somebody else's mind, it's not. Whether it's health care, you know, universal health care nationwide, whether it's, you know, socialism, whatever it is, it's not the program. And we have sustained and ratified the United States Constitution. And as George Washington said in his farewell address, until changed by an authentic act, it's got to be abided by. We have a responsibility to do that. And you can't, by yes and by golly, make these kind of actions. And Congress, with their feckless, backboneless, spineless, whatever you want to call it, approach to things right now, they're not following the Constitution. They are not upholding their oath of office, in spite of the fact that they're touting how that much they love the Constitution. Read it again, folks. This is not an issue of politicizing some kind of fourth grade spat between grade school girls.
Because if we got the president saying, I got to defend our nation, we're going to get attacked, and Congress said, oh, you're crazy, and ignored him, and then we got attacked, I'm telling you, it would change the next election. Okay, so I'm not asking for an attack, but I am making a point that reality becomes very clear if it's really a national defense question or not. And the blame needs to squarely be placed where it belongs. The problem is we're not doing that. And I agree with Kurt. We don't know all the inside details. I don't know who's meeting in the, quote, war room and which generals are briefing the president on this. And I don't know all those back end details. However, the founders still expected me to insist that those who work for me obey the supreme law. And that's why I stand where I stand, is because, look, I don't need to know all the inside details. If Donald needs to strike to protect this nation, let him get authority and let him get it done. I have no problem with that. But it's not if or when, it's how and who and what.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
As hundreds of thousands of demonstrators continue to show anger in the streets of Tehran and other Iranian cities, President Trump is sticking by his threats to attack Iranian cultural sites if that nation retaliates for the airstrike that killed a top Iranian general. Responding to reporters' questions yesterday, the president said, "Why are cultural sites off limits when American forces face roadside bombs?" Many experts say attacking cultural sites would amount to war crimes. Meanwhile, Senate Democrat and White House hopeful Elizabeth Warren is asking,
"Why does he pick now to take this highly inflammatory, highly dangerous action that moves us closer to war?"
She spoke on CNN. Still awaiting damage reports after a 5.8 magnitude earthquake hits the southeast coast of Puerto Rico today. And this is USA Radio News.
Here is some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance. And it's worked beautifully for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. And over the years, members have shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. You're not stuck with a high-cost health plan. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They are super easy to talk to. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
More on the recent strike that killed an Iranian commander. The U.S. House now moving to limit what President Trump can do in the Middle East going forward. Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the House will vote on a resolution mandating that the administration's military action against Iran end after 30 days without further congressional action to greenlight it. A South Carolina policeman, the first U.S. law enforcement officer killed in the line of duty this year, the state's law enforcement division says 26-year-old Officer Jackson Winkler was shot to death during a traffic stop at the Florence Regional Airport yesterday morning. At last night's Golden Globes, the British World War I film 1917 wins Best Drama Picture and Best Director. Actor Brad Pitt wins Best Supporting Actor for his role in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That Tarantino film also winning Best Comedy and Best Screenplay. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, so we come back, and it's an interesting discussion, and I'll tell you why, Scott Bradley. Scott, or Kurt, says, hey, he doesn't know the details internally, and I think he's right. It's something that we cannot overlook. It's something important to consider, and I think it's a wise point to bring up. However, I say, well, we got to follow the blueprint for liberty. Well, this comes back to the discussion of impeachment. You know, Chuck Baldwin wrote a big article about we should impeach the president, and here's the two the Democrats give, and he gives 18 more and says we ought to impeach him immediately. And on one hand, I understand that point, and I think that there's several things we can impeach Donald Trump for justifiably, constitutionally speaking. However, if I was asked to vote if I would impeach President Trump right now, if I was an elected official, and we have to think that way because they work for us. So we have to be as savvy as we expect them to be, and we have to know enough and look at what they do, and do they do what we would have done or what we want done. And I would vote to not, I repeat, not impeach the president. And there's one fundamental reason why. We have been moving further and further and further away from what the executive branch should be doing based on the blueprint for liberty, further and further away from what the congressional or legislative branch should be doing for decades. And what we can't do is install a president that the second he gets elected, the second he takes his oath of office, he's already impeachable because, hey, things are on autopilot. We're in 130 nations militarily. We're arming and training and funding people around the world for war on both sides of the military-industrial complex. We're spending unconstitutional currency every second. And if you shut down the government and say, I won't spend any unconstitutional money because it's illegal and I don't want to be impeached. Okay, so we've let him inherit this far afield from what the president ought to be doing. there's a way back. But my point is, you can't just, as you wisely said in the last segment, you can't just dump all this on Donald and say he owns it all and he owns it this second. That's not a fair reality. And so that's why I would vote no on the impeachment, even though I believe he's committing impeachable offenses. I think if you or I were elected today, we would be committing impeachable offenses the second we got there. The question is, are we trending in the right direction? Are we doing the things we can to try to bring us back into compliance with the supreme law of our land and the blueprint guidelines? I think that is worthy of discussion, sir.
You know, I absolutely, this is such a morass and such a problem, but I'm going to even muddy the water even further. And I'll go back to James Madison to do this. James Madison spoke during the 1787 convention in Philadelphia, where they were writing the new Constitution, about this limiting power of the power to go to war and keeping it from the president, and how it needed to be deliberative and so on and so forth. One of the statements he made had to do with an ancient, it was well known in Rome, but when there was a revolt, a brewing within the empire, when the people were kind of astir and uptight, and there was, you know, maybe battle lines being drawn, a civil war, whatever it was, he said, among the Romans, it was the standing maxim to excite a war whenever a revolt was apprehended. So whenever they thought, this is a mess here at home, let's go out and start a war, and then everybody will unite, okay? And this process that we're going through right now is very closely related to that. We have a stir. A lot of people say that we're on the verge of civil war. It's a social war at the very least. But at any rate, there's this ideology that's become very entrenched on both sides of the fence, if you will. And I tend to say, let's go with principle rather than this ideology, but that's another discussion. But right now we have kind of a social revolution going on in ideologies and this idea of Trump and impeachment and all this kind of stuff. Well, here we have, okay, if we start this big brouhaha war ultimately and finally, maybe the country will stop this nonsense about, splitting, between the Dems and the Repubs and all that kind of stuff, and maybe Trump will avoid impeachment and blah, 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 blah. And I don't know if that's going on behind the scenes, but Madison talked about it during the convention and said, look, when there's a problem astir at home, it's very common for those in power to take the war, start a war outside the realms of the kingdom, if you will, and boy, oh man alive, that takes the heat off. And there's so many things afoot here that we need, as you keep coming back to this, there are baseline principles. If we do not follow them, go back and read the 69th Federalist Paper, for crying out loud, about how the president, Hamilton, was talking in the 69th Federalist, comparing and contrasting the King of England against what the proposed presidential office was. And he was saying, it's like it in this way, it's different in this way. And one of the things he focuses on in the 69th Federalist Paper is the concept that the king can start a war and, basically pursue it however he wants. In the United States, the president does not have that power. That is a legislative power and a legislative power only. The king can do what he wants, but our president is only like the first admiral or first general. That's what he likens him to. He carries out what he's been ordered to do. And, of course, the Constitution says, and when the president comes into office, he takes an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution, and will to the best of his ability, it says. And then he also is charged with the responsibility of carrying out the law. Now, if the law violates the Constitution, then we have another problem, and so many of the laws do today, right this very instant. I mean, probably 80% of the laws that are passed violate the Constitution. And we could argue about whether it's 79 or 81, but it's a very high number. But the fact of the matter is, the president takes an oath to uphold the Constitution. So do the congressmen. So do the senators. So do the judges, for crying out. So does your dog catcher, basically. Everybody says that they're going to sustain and uphold this law within its limits and bounds. And this thing we're messing with right now violates it at every turn. We've got to go back to the baseline and follow the principles. And I think stability will be restored. I think that we'll become, again, the greatest, freest, strongest, most happy, most prosperous, most admired nation in all the world.
And what I think people are struggling with, Scott, is how do we go back, though? To Kurt's point, you know what? I don't know what's going on in this war thing. I don't have intel. We're so far from what the president ought to be doing and so far from what Congress ought to be doing. Some are saying we don't believe we can get back. Now, I disagree. Well, I'm convinced we can get back. But the question is, what steps should we take? And I would submit to you that it starts with the morality in the people, people turning to God and repenting so that they can get clear guidance and revelation from the Almighty on what we should be doing and who we should elect and how we should go about the restoration of this great country. I think that there's no other way back.
Well, I agree that that is fundamental to everything. But think for a moment of the lies that we've been told. I mean, blatant, flat-out lies. Almost every single official response we get, ultimately and finally, is proven to be a lie. And we could review that at great length. But let's just take the weapons of mass destruction argument.
By the way, they're even admitting to that lie in the mainstream press now that the last three presidents, and they're not even including Trump, so the last four presidents, have been basically involved, along with the media, in these flat-out lies. Now they openly admit it.
Well, there's no question. Look at the weapons of mass destruction thing. Let's not even talk about how Colin Powell went to the United Nations for permission to go to war against Iraq back in that, you know, first sandpile we played in. You know, it's bizarre to me that every single statement that has been given to us has been proven to be a lie. Even the so-called intel that they're operating off of has been fabricated. And so we've got to go back and we've got to take the steps necessary to say, okay, as Congress, we have this responsibility. We will not fund any war.
All right, now let me stop you there. And that's why I say that even if we were in the inside intel, you know, meetings, I don't know that we could even rely on that intel. Okay? We got to go back to the fundamentals and say we're not going to fund these things. Why? Because there's no authority. You have to steal from the taxpayers to get the money to do it anyway. You have to spend unconstitutional fiat bogus money where you could never do it. So what we need to do is stop violating the principles regardless of what the intel says.
And the intel is cooked. That's the bottom line. I mean, they have cooked up whatever. They've fabricated whatever they want. And you basically say, what answer do you want? Okay, well, we'll make it be that answer because we're the ones that control this. And honestly, I guess I must say that I don't think any of the deep states are friend. I don't think the CIA is our friend. I don't think most of the congressional staff members understand a clue about it. You and I, we were all three back in Washington, D.C. 5+ years ago. And I remember a conversation you had with one of the staffers that was there as we were going into the Senate. And she made a statement, I don't know if you recall it or not, but, well, this is not something for my judgment. This is not something that I can have an opinion on. This is not. Do you remember that conversation?
Because I was then saying, so you're telling me that you can't understand and apply the Constitution?
Yep.
Exactly. And she's like, oh, that's too political. That's not my responsibility. I'm glad we have a congressman. And I'm like, wait a minute. Who works for who? And that's why I say you don't have to have all the intel to be able to make decisions about what we ought to be doing or not. What you got is the supreme law of the land, and you got the blueprint, and we got law. And law says Congress decides. Well, Congress won't do a good job. Then you better elect people who will, people. Or else, yeah, they won't do a good job, and we might get attacked, and that'll really suck. I get it. But you might wake up if that happened too, huh? All right, hang on. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on 24/7 with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Kirk Crosby, Scott Bradley, Sam Bushman on your radio. So let me give an analogy that might help with what I'm saying, Scott, and you can see if it's fair. I want Kurt to respond to this, too. You know, we're not supposed to spend fake money. The only constitutional currency allowed, according to our supreme law, is gold and silver coinage. And any other money is unconstitutional. It's immoral. It's a moral hazard. It violates the law. So somebody comes to me and says, Sam, I'm going to spend money on this or that. Or I don't need to debate if it's a good item or a bad item to spend money on. I'll be the first to say, well, it's better to spend money on good items than bad items. I get it. But I don't need to debate what the money's going to be spent on. I can simply say, you ought to not spend it. Why? Because it's unconstitutional. That's why. I don't need to know about or get the intel. Well, wait a minute, Sam. We need to spend this money. It's legitimate because of... No. You don't have the authority to spend that money. People, I don't need to know what you're going to spend it on. I mean, I get it. I can get into the minutiae of it's a better item to spend money on than something else. Or, you know what, I even can maybe say, well, that's a good thing to spend money on. But I still can't justify spending the wrong money or the illegal or the unconstitutional, the immoral fiat money on it, regardless. And so that's what I mean by I don't have to know all the details. I have to simply say we shouldn't be going to war and committing acts of war without congressional approval. Now, if we get congressional approval and the guidelines and the funding and we go about it properly, then I might disagree with the war, but I will back it. Until then, though, I will not even back it because it's immoral and it's unconstitutional. Okay, the same thing's true with this money example that I gave. I don't need to know what you're spending the money on. I'm just telling you, you shouldn't be spending it. Am I crazy or am I focused on principle here, Scott?
Well, all of the things you're saying are correct, and it's, in my opinion, there's multiple things that need to align before we move ahead. And the money thing, obviously, is off the tracks a long time ago and way off the tracks.
Well, and that's why a president would be impeachable the second he takes office, because he'd be spending that like a drunken sailor the second he takes office, even while he's sleeping, sir.
But all of the other issues have got to be brought into alignment, too. I mean, this isn't a single check one box and you're off to war kind of thing. There are so many issues that are out of whack right now that our congressmen and senators, our executive and our courts are totally disconnected from. And it's a tragic scenario. I mean, and I think it's come about because of many decades of a false educational system. And those that are conspiring to basically pull the strings of government on their behalf. But yes, absolutely. We need to get everything in alignment. And I like what Kurt said earlier about this Prince of Peace. I mean, my goodness, we as a nation look to that Prince of Peace for everything we hold sacred. And that I can demonstrate that back to the very beginning of the nation. And we have abandoned that. And there are people today that believe, for example, America is either a great military power or an economic power. And first and foremost, before all of that, we are a spiritual nation. And unless that spirituality becomes something that we begin to not just pay attention to, but live by, we are abandoning everything that we were founded on. And so, yeah, all of this stuff is correct, but it's so simple. Read the Constitution, and you say, well, you're spending money on the wrong thing. Well, how do you know? Well, because the Constitution allows this and this and this and this and this to have money spent on. That's it. And there's no other, there are no other reasons, you know.
Yeah, well, and that's how I know we shouldn't be spending the money if we're spending fiat money.
Exactly.
Okay, I don't care what your justification is, but we don't have the authority. The law prohibits the spending money other than constitutional currency, right?
Article 1, Section 8, Clause 5 says, Congress shall have power to coin money. Look up coin money. Coin money has to do with metal. It's stamped metal. That's in the original definition of how money was created. It has nothing whatsoever to do with anything that creation of paper. Now, if you created an IOU that was backed by, you know, you get into that argument if you want. But the fact of the matter is, everything ties back to real currency. And that was what the nation was founded on. And we have abandoned that. In 1913, we turned it over to an illegal private banking consortium for profit that controls our economy. And these guys are the ones that Trump's talking to nowadays. You know, back in 2016, he was saying, oh, man, the Fed, those guys are just, they're pouring fuel on the fire. We're going to get to a big bubble. The economy's going to burst. Now, in 2020, he's saying, oh, Fed, keep pouring money, keep pouring fuel on the fire, you know, because he knows that the likelihood of...
And you're the bad guys if you won't continue to pour fuel on the fire.
That's right. But he knows that many people vote based upon, you know, their economic status in the economy. There's talk today of the Dow being 32,000 before 2020 ends. So, but you can understand that by the fact they're inflating the money to the point that everything goes up in price, but no value is added to it. But the private banking consortium, if the feds borrow, if the national government borrows $1 billion, the Federal Reserve creates that money out of thin air, loans it to the U.S. taxpayer, and the U.S. taxpayer becomes liable to pay back the full $1 billion that was created out of thin air by the Fed, plus interest. And Trump now is trying to convince the Fed to continue to pour that fuel on the fire.
And when people ask Donald Trump if he's concerned about the debt, he's like, oh, no, that's easy to solve. We'll take care of that in my next term. Don't worry. Now we got it, and we got it, and we got it. All right, switching gears a little bit, but I think similar topics, if you will. I want to focus on two topics. I don't know if the president and his intel knows the truth or not. I think the president's being deceived on the intel that he's getting as well. Because I think President Trump, in his defense, has a nose to get out of wars. He believes to get out of wars. But he's probably fed a line of propaganda to convince him that it's necessary and needful. And so I don't know how many of these presidents have been lied to along the way either. I don't know that the president's going to come out and say, I made horrible decisions and murdered people because I was lied to by your mainstream press and by my intel apparatus. I don't think the presidents are going to say that. But I think oftentimes the presidents may be snookered into these things, oftentimes without complete story or detail. As well. But the reason that I bring this up is because the media is certainly helping aid and abet this problem as well. Rush Limbaugh, by the way, renewed his radio show contract in a big new deal. No one will tell the details of the deal now. But back in 2008, Rush Limbaugh signed an 8-year deal with Clear Channel Communications worth $400 million. So he got $50 million a year for that 8 years from 2008 to 2016. Then he got another contract from 16 to 20. Now he gets another one. I can't believe it's less than the $50 million a year he was getting before. So this guy literally has, 16 years?
At $1 million a year.
No, $50 million a year.
No, $1 million a week, excuse me.
Yeah, about, yes, that's right. Okay, and so you wonder... You think that guy's going to really like lay out the realities of the Constitution, lay out the solutions to return, or do you think he's going to toe the line? I mean, he even said that he was basically, a water carrier for the Republican Party kind of a thing. He made those statements in his own words. I give a slide presentation that shows that, according to big news services. But again, you're talking about $50 million a year, literally for this massive amount of time, 16 years or whatever, and you go, wow. 50 million times 16, a lot of money. Well, if you even take 1% of that, man, our show could run for years on that. But I bring this all up, though, for the purpose of saying, do you think that kind of a situation in the media, that's one of the most conservative medias we get, if you accept any of the mainstream, right? And that's the most conservative it gets. You think he's going to blow the whistle and lay it out like we just have, Scott?
Well, here, just think for a second. People pay for entertainment. Okay, some people like to be entertained with sports. Some like operas, and some like rock star stuff. Some like comedians, and so on. Rush Limbaugh is first and foremost an entertainer that plays to an audience that he is focused on. Now, the audience he's focused on claim to have a quote-unquote conservative perspective, but that audience hears, and they keep coming back to it. It's like if you decided you didn't like the opera, you wouldn't go to that opera. You wouldn't go to that ball game. You wouldn't go to listen to that comedian, whatever. They keep going to their entertainer that gives them the entertainment that they want. He's first and foremost an entertainer. And when he entertains with the message that his people want to hear, and he actually creates much of the message, honestly, and the perspective, it's all manipulated. And honestly, what needs to happen is there needs to come to, again, we keep talking about this, baseline principles. And you know, honestly, people wouldn't listen to you and Kurt. I mean, Sam and Kurt are here delivering the message. Sometimes I think the message it resonates with the people, and sometimes it doesn't. But you're not afraid to kind of come to the point that you say, okay, this is wrong, even though this guy's your favorite guy, whatever. And so you do kind of create a little bit of cognitive dissonance among some people, but they have to think it through to come to a conclusion. Rush Limbaugh sings to his audience or speaks to his audience that he knows he's created, and he is entertaining them with what they want to hear. And you're not going to get much off of that message, I don't think. But he gets paid $1 million a week to do it. So, you know, he's not going to change that.
Yeah, and $50 million a year, ladies and gentlemen, if you take 1% of that, what do you got, 500 grand? Like I say, we could run for years on 500 grand, not only this talk show, but our whole radio network. And I want to know, who do you think's bringing you the real information that could save this country? Final story before the end of the hour. I mentioned that the only way back is to become a moral people and to understand the supreme law and insist on the checks and balances and on principle. If a moral people do that, our God will help us accomplish the task. Otherwise, we're not going to make it happen. But here's the final headline to respond to, Scott, that directly relates, in my opinion. Methodists agree to split over same-sex marriage. Half the congregations are going to back same-sex marriage, and half the congregations are going to reject the whole Methodist organization, 13 million people or whatever, splitting right now.
Wow. I guess this scriptural-based, foundational kind of thing can be set aside at a whim in organizations. Wow. I look at some of the guys that found it. You know, John Wesley and his brother were kind of the founders of the Methodist religion. Good men. I mean, men that dedicated their life to spreading the word of the gospel as they understood it, and they traveled extensive miles on horseback to try and get that word out. And the foundation, it seems, has been split now, I guess, if that's what they're really going to do. I had not seen this story.
Yeah, they're working on a vote to do that right now, and the prediction is they will completely split. It really comes back to the one or two liners Kurt's been saying during the whole show. He hasn't said a whole lot, but what he has said, in my opinion, vitally important. We need to follow the Prince of Peace. We need to understand the Prince of Peace. We need to apply the principles the Prince of Peace teaches. And if we follow the Prince of Peace, we can restore this republic and save our country. Do you want the final word, Kurt?
God bless America. God bless the world. Let's follow the Prince of Peace and, hey, make it a great day, as you say, Sam.
I couldn't agree with that more. Scott, you want a final comment?
Let's return to the foundation, people, and that foundation includes the Prince of Peace, unquestionably, and he established this nation, my humble opinion, and I believe unless we can stay with him, we're doomed to failure.
0.1% of Rush Limbaugh's salary, believe it or not, that's how much it takes to run this whole network per year. Did you know that? 0.1%. Not only this show, but the whole radio network, including this show and Brian Hyde's show and many others. 0.1% of what Rush gets personally. Imagine that. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic.